If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You might have noticed I cut out a while ago because I picked up the wrong paper and not my sermons. I'm glad I looked down. That would have been a little tougher if I'd have come up with the other paper. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, guys, you know that part of what God wants to do in our lives is to manifest these characteristics in our lives. We've been talking about quite a few of them, and we want to look at faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Do what? Keep your word. Be relied on. Be consistent. Unfailing devotion. Follow God's path. Anybody else? Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. That's pretty good, but that's a big thing, isn't it? It's easy to say, yeah. Well, guys, all those things are right. When you begin to look at the different definitions of faithfulness, whether you look it up in the dictionary, whether you look it up in an old dictionary, I keep one on my computer that they might have used a number of years ago that would explain some of the old King James words so that I can understand sometimes what they were trying to say. If you got a King James Version, it uses the word faith, because the root word is the word faith, of faithfulness. Unless you got faith in the Lord, you're not going to have faithfulness. There has to be a trust in God. One of the areas where I was looking for information on faith was a sermon. And it started out in a very unusual place for faithfulness. It actually started in a passage about unfaithfulness. One of the guys took us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. I don't want you to go there. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. But he talks about the end times. What is the world going to look like in the end days? Is it going to look different from us now? Do we have a long time before the end time? Are we living in the end time today? Well, just keeping up with the world news today, it appears we're in the end times ourselves. It's already upon us. But when you begin to read what Paul said to Timothy, it becomes even more of a reality. He says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Hello? "Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Wow. That sounds like the world news today, doesn't it? It sounds like our neighborhood. Well, you're probably going, what does all that got to do with being faithful? Well, if you go on down a little bit farther, Paul continues his chain of thought as he's talking to Timothy, and he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you had known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What Paul was saying to Timothy is, don't let the world affect you. Guys, it's sad to say, but we live today in a world when the Christians don't look a whole lot different than the world. We've been influenced by the world, by that sinful nature that we got. Guys, there's a description here. You know what the description is? The world is about loving itself. I mean, that's what that whole passage is. It's about loving itself, wanting to do what you want to do, having your way. Guys, I want to tell you something. God doesn't change. The Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's standard doesn't change. God's morals doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. What God said was wrong in the Old Testament is wrong in the New Testament. You know, we like to look at the world and say, well, you know, everybody else is doing these things. That makes it all right for me to do it, right? No. Guys, God holds us to a different standard. He's not going to judge us according to the world standards. You know, my mama's not going to be able to stand up and give a testimony for me. Oh, Lord, He's my son. If you remember in Scripture, there was two brothers that were disciples of the Lord, and Mom tried to intercede a little bit for them. Do you remember? Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you put one on your right and the other on your left? Mom's not going to be able to stand up there and give a testimony for you. All right, when we stand in judgment, we stand in judgment. God's not going to compare us to the standards of the world at that time. You know what He's going to compare us to? By the way, guess who's the judge? Jesus is the judge. He is also the standard. When you think of faithful, you know, I was just trying to think of some things that you could check in your life to see if you were faithful or not. And I just named a few of them as I was putting down. Are you faithful in coming to worship? You know, most of the time, that's what we think of faithfulness is how many times you come to church. We used to keep records on that. In fact, you used to win little things. Perfect attendance. Man, that was neat. Little things that you could win. You know, kids like to win little things. And adults do too. Don't get that wrong. They do. They like that. We don't even give those things anymore. Because most of the time, and you know, all of us are guilty, even in the churches today, most of churches have done away with Sunday night service because, frankly, people don't come on Sunday night. You know, when I study the Scriptures, do you know that church appears to have met every day? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? I came from an old-timey church. When my church first started, it only met once a month. On that day, they would have church, dinner on the grounds, and business meeting. Get her done all on one day. That's right. If you'd miss two services, which is 2 months, there was two options. If you didn't have a good excuse, they took your name off the roll. That's called accountability. We used to do that in Sunday school. Now we're afraid to ask those kind of questions. Did you witness somebody this week? Did you bring a Bible? Have you got an offering? Did you study the lesson? Well, we thought that offended people, so we dropped that down and just, if your body is here and still warm. Guys, we need to be held to accountability. First of all, you have to understand that God is faithful. Have you ever studied that through the Scriptures? I mean, we know that. That's something in the back of our mind that we have the intelligence to know that God's a faithful God because all through Scriptures we kind of see that. There's one passage that's talking about His dealings with Moses in 1 Kings. It says, "There has not failed one word of all of His good promises which He promised through His servant Moses." Did you catch that? Not one promise that God made to Moses that He didn't keep. Well, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means that's the same God that deals with our lives. So that means every promise that God's made to us, He's going to keep it. Faithful God. But there's some specifics the Scripture talks about. Let's see. I like this one. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. I like that. Sounds good, doesn't it? Who would not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is watching over our lives. Did you know that? If you belong to Him, He's a part of every part of your life. He doesn't just leave you and He's over, you know, thousands or millions of miles somewhere up there where you can't see Him. He's right here with us, guys. He's a part of our lives, and He's faithful to be there. You notice He said, I'm not going to put anything on you that I don't give you a way to escape it. You know, sometimes we turn that around to mean something else when we read those verses. We have to be careful about that. What else is He faithful in doing? I'm glad you ask. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? We can go to God when we've messed up. I know you don't mess up. I do. And I can go to God through what Jesus Christ has done for me. And God says, I am faithful to forgive you. That is awesome. Well, what else does it say about Him? Listen to this one. This is in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Christ will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's another one. It kind of goes with that in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The promise of God is not only was He there for salvation, but He'll be there every step of the way in your life to help you through it. Well, Brother Terry, what if you're having a really bad day? What if the doctor comes back and says, you've got a mass when you didn't expect that? That would just knock the sails right out of you, or the wind right out of your sails, wouldn't it? One of the passages of Scripture that we have that I think we like so much is found in Lamentations, chapter 3. And Lamentations is written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, by the way, because the book of Lamentations is a funeral from one chapter to the last. Jeremiah is brokenhearted over what's going to happen to Jerusalem. But right in the middle of it, in the midst of all that's happening in his life, there's a little ray of sunshine. Verse 20 says, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. But this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the midst of everything, Jeremiah finally gets that little bit of thinking power, and he goes, oh, that's right. I'm still here. And you know what? Even though things are dark and bleak to me now, and it's breaking my heart, I'm going to make it through this because God is still faithful. You know, the Scripture even tells us that Christ Himself is faithful even if we don't believe. He can't deny Himself. So even if you have a bad day where you're going, well, I don't know if all this is, but this is so, I can't take it, can't handle it. Praise the Lord. He didn't say, well, I just might as well pack up and leave too. He's right there with us. Isn't that great? God's faithfulness. Well, guys, not only is our God faithful, but our Savior is faithful. As I was looking at different verses, one of the verses that comes up, and it, You won't find the word faithful in it, but I think you'll recognize the verse. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I can't think of any more pressure on any more being than what was on Christ that night. Calvary didn't start when he got on a hill and they nailed him to a cross. It started in the garden. Knowing the sins of the world would be upon him, knowing that the Father would have to turn away from him, knowing all of that, he still said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You know, Jesus made some unusual statements. He said, I don't do the work, the Father does the work. It's not on my authority, it's on the authority of the Father. I'm here to do the will of the Father. And in that great passage where it's really the Lord's Prayer when he's praying, it says, Father, I have glorified you. I have finished the work. It tells us that he was faithful in the work. He was faithful in delivering the word. He was faithful in doing the will of God. And he was willing to take it all the way to the cross for you and I, our faithful Savior. So we had a God that's faithful. We have a Savior that's faithful. Do you think he would ask any less of those who belong to him? He wants us to be faithful. In fact, if you go to the 24th, 25th chapter of Matthew, he gives us a couple of things there about faithfulness. He said, when I come back at the end, will I find faithfulness? Will I find people faithful? He talks about the parable where the master's going away, and so he divides up some talents among his servants to be used wisely while he's gone. Again, when he comes back, he requires of them to give an account, and he sees who was faithful. The scriptures tell us also that a servant or a steward, the requirement is to be faithful. God has called us to be faithful, reliable, true. Let me read some of the things when I find my list here of some of the things. And it's a lot of what you said. Firm in the adherence and the truth. Fidelity. Loyal. True. Allegiant. Constant in performance of duties and service. Firm in keeping the promises. True to the facts. Steadfast, determined, allegiance. Guys, does that describe your life as a Christian? See, I just asked you one while ago. Are you faithful to church? What if I ask you, are you faithful to witnessing? I am so glad that Brother Bill was able to give us a testimony this morning of God put him in the right place at the right time. Mr. Bill, where are you? I don't know if I'd have had that, buddy. I'd have been looking for them horns. I am so glad that you did and you took that opportunity. Faithful in witnessing. Are you faithful in your devotion to God? Do you spend time with him every day? Are you faithful in service to him? Do you use the gifts that he's given you? Not just at church, but do you use those spiritual gifts he's blessed you with? You know, if you're a Christian, if you're really born again, you've got at least one. Yeah, that's right. Some of you have more than one. Are you using them for him? I bet if I asked, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Half of you wouldn't even know that. So you wouldn't know if you were using it or not, would you? Huh? Are you faithful in giving? You know, we live in difficult days. We have a visiting pastor with us today, and glad to have you and your wife here. But we live in a world where everybody's downsizing. Companies are downsizing, businesses are downsizing. Do you know that as Southern Baptists, we've downsized too? I don't know about you, but that bothers me. We've got guys and gals up there in the Florida Baptist Convention and probably in the Southern Baptist Convention that are having to do 13, 14 jobs that they used to hire other people to do, but because giving is not as good as it once was, and because we've tried to redirect some of our funds more towards missions, we've had to downsize, and you got people doing all kinds of things. And guys, when you downsize in the work of God, it kind of bothers me. I don't care what the world's doing. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and 1,000 hills the cattle are on. There's nothing short about His finances. It could be that we're not faithful in giving. You know, guys, I know God doesn't ask us to do what they did in the early church, where if they had anything extra, they went out and sold it and brought it to the disciples' feet to give it out. God didn't always ask us to do that. But He does ask us to be faithful in our giving. And we need to do that. Did you know that if any church, and I guarantee you guys, you'd be hard-pressed to find one, but if any church, if the members actually tithe, you would never have a problem with finances. Did you know that? You wouldn't. But it doesn't work out that way, unfortunately. Are you faithful to God's Word? You know, I was thinking this past week, what would happen if instead of playing on the computer, instead of playing on Facebook, instead of watching television, instead of listening to the radio, or if your hobby's to read books instead of reading books, we spent that time this week reading the Word of God, how much better would our knowledge of God's Word be? And our lives be. Are we faithful to God's Word? Now, here's one that has to go with that. Are you faithful to obedience when God's Word tells you to do something? You know, it's easy to preach a message. It's harder to do that message. God's called us to be faithful, guys. He's faithful. You can't get rid of God. David talked about that. David said, if I went over here, you'd already be there. If I went over yonder, you'd already be there. I can't get away from the presence of God. And that's true. If you're a believer, you can't. Isn't that great? He's faithful. Jesus, what if Jesus would have come up there and they're fixing to nail him to the cross and he said to God, change my mind. Dad, I know Peter. I know James and John. They're not going to be faithful. And I know that rascal Terry Holland is going to come down the road. And he's not going to be faithful. Father, why should I be faithful and die for them when I can't even depend on them for a little faithfulness in their lives? Man, I'm so glad that that's not God. You see, Christ, His character is faithfulness. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Joy? Oh, it wasn't the cross He was looking forward to. It wasn't the pain or the rejection or the Father turning His back on Him. The joy was He knew that by doing that, you and I could have a changed life. That's the joy that was set before Him. And all He asked, guys, is for us to be faithful. But let me tell you something. You don't have it in you on your own to be faithful. Just like the world's getting worse and worse, that's part of our lives too, except for one thing. you've got the Holy Spirit living in your life. And you notice what he's talking about here is it is a fruit of the Spirit. And he says, what I want to do is manifest all of these characters in your life. I desire to do that. The power's there. The Word of God's there. Are you willing to let me? Because if you're willing to let me and you listen to what I say to you, I'll manifest these things in your life and make you faithful. Just like I'm faithful and just like I redeemed you to be like my son. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's bow our heads. Father, I can't speak for anybody else here. I have to speak for my own life. And as I look at my own life compared to the faithfulness of you, Father, I fall so very short to what you desire from me. I'm faithful sometimes. I'm faithful in some things. But Lord, I'm not consistent. And that's part of what faithfulness means. That consistency, dependability. Father, I want the Holy Spirit to manifest these characteristics in my life. And I have an idea that most everybody here that really know you desire that as well. It kind of goes against that old nature, though, because we're just about like the world that loves itself and desires to do its own thing. Sometimes it's a struggle, Lord, because we desire that as Christians sometimes to do our own thing. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage, that you give us the strength to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, manifest faithfulness in our lives today. Not only because you desire that in our lives, but also because we're supposed to be a testimony to the world around us. We're not giving them anything else different than they already see in the world. For it to be different, then our lives have to be different. Father, I pray that you'd manifest it in our lives so that we can show the world what an awesome Savior and God we serve and how that Savior and God can come into your life and make a difference. Lord, there might be someone here this morning that would say, Brother Terry, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've not placed my faith in Him yet. I can't be faithful without having faith. Lord, just a moment, we're going to give invitation. I'm going to be standing down front. And Lord, even though we're singing a song, that song is not the important part of it. It is a time that we can make a decision for you. The altars are open for anybody to come up and pray. I'm standing down front. If you've got a question, you'd like to know more about trusting Christ, I'm down here. If you want somebody to pray for you, I'm down here. Father, thank you for being our faithful God. As Paul said, the one who's begun a good thing in me will finish it unto the end. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.